Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a lifetime of ghostly encounters transitions from demonic to angelic. And who or what is lurking in the cabin next door?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802. Write it on the website, Real Ghost Stories Online. And if you want all of our bonus material, you can get the advanced episodes, the EPP bonus episodes, and more. Check out ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. And let's go over to our first letter of the day. It says, I understand that this is going to probably paint a giant bullseye on my back, but I'm going to do it anyway. My name is Melissa. I'm a single mother in my mid-30s with two daughters. My second earliest memory was of being in my crib, listening to my parents in the other room. I don't remember having any thoughts, just a strong desire to get in there. There was a presence behind me asking me if I wanted out, and that would hurt. I have lifted out of my crib, lowered about a foot, and then I felt dropped. I remember the layout of the room, the color, it was painted, my parents when they ran in. There have never been any pictures of this apartment, and we moved out soon after this happened. There's no way I should remember it, and yet I do. And it scared my parents when I told them about it when I was in high school, because they remembered that very incident of me being lifted out of my crib by an unseen force. For as long as I can remember, I've had trouble in the dark because of whispers and shadow people. I'm a skeptic, so I always was told, they always told me to suck it up and turn the lights on. When I got older, I learned about the females on my mom's side having abilities. They were all psychic. My mother had dreams of events either as they were happening or before. She also knew things about people that she shouldn't. My grandmother saw and talked to ghosts. She even saw her late husband before she died. From my understanding, my great-grandmother did all the above. Now, here I can do weird shit, but I'll stick with the parts that have ghosts involved. I'll list a few things that have happened, then explain what I learned. Number one, in elementary school, I was living at my grandmother's for a few years. While there, my dad, my dog, and I have seen two young children leaping from wall to wall. One time, all three of us saw it together when the kids leaped from a desk in the dining room to the sliding glass door. We all turned to look, and the dog got up to investigate. The dog ended up sitting between us in the dining room on alert. It was as if he was waiting for it to come back and guard us against it. In junior high, a very tall, very skinny black figure walked out of my little sister's room and down the hall. So tall, its head was in the ceiling, and so skinny, it looked to be only about 2 or 3 inches thick. I remember the details and the long, skinny fingers. Without thinking, I grabbed my baton and chased it down the hall. How dare something go in my sister's room like that? It wasn't until I reached the empty, dark living room that I realized what I saw. I went back to my room and didn't sleep for several days. Number three, I was given a Ouija board in junior high from my dad. Played it several times, stopped and put it in the garage after a tall, skinny old man in black clothes and a wide-brim hat stood outside my window. It took a good week for him to go away. Yeah, screw that crap. A fat, long-haired man was sitting on a couch in my house, and then again in the office on the computer chair a few years after. I walked by him both times. He was seriously depressed and looked up at me. I glanced at him before stopping and turning around to see nothing. Seeing fully dressed people out of the corner of my eye walking out of my dad's room while the door was closed and down the hall. There's much more. At this point, I had been followed and tormented my whole life. I didn't believe in religion and even harass the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses that came by my door so much that they stopped coming. I've been blacklisted. It's been over 10 years and they still don't come. I've watched them through the windows bypass my house and go right for my neighbors. In my late 20s, my oldest was going through some horrible things at her father's house. I won't go into details, but the system failed us. Short of going over to her father's house and shooting everyone or taking her and running, there was nothing I could do. For almost a year, I barely slept. I didn't really eat. My anxiety and depression took hold, and I often did nothing but stare at the wall. What was happening to her was destroying me, and there was nothing I could do about it. A friend of mine helped me. She helped me get ready for a custody battle. My last attempt to save my daughter. I didn't get full custody. She also answered the questions I had about Jesus and Christianity. The night before the court hearing, she prayed for me. I didn't believe in the stuff, but it made her feel like she was helping, so I agreed to it. As she prayed, I felt it. I felt actual arms wrap around me. I felt the warmth and all of my anxiety melting away. I immediately laid down and went to sleep and slept through the night. Never in all my life had I felt so much peace. After that, I started to question that maybe this religion stuff does exist. Then I heard something speak. What he said did happen. My daughter was now safe. I was all in. I still see shadow people and I hear things. Just the other day, I heard a little girl say, "Can I come in?" I replied with no. Over the last 5 years, a number of ghosts I've seen remain the same, but I now know they are not and have never been human. I used to demand they show me who they really are when they're parading around as human, and it's always the same, not human. They are evil and scary as shit. They know you better than you do and exactly how to screw with you. I've yet to come across one that hasn't been a demon, and it has become apparent that they don't like me. Over the last couple of years, I've seen something new. I started going to church, and during the first year where they were having a fundraiser for a mission trips, they had tables set up in a semicircle with pictures of the different places the groups were going and what they were going to do there. I sat there and saw large, gold-laced see-through beings walking around. They were a good 8 feet tall and walking among the people in between the tables. There were at least 10 of them. I thought I was going crazy until a baby sitting on the couch beside me was reacting to them. When one would walk by, she'd follow it. She could see them too, and they made her smile and giggle. I believe we were seeing angels. Now, when I refer to ghosts, I refer to demons parading around as dead humans to screw with you. And that's the end of the story. So it sounds like there was a lot of encounters there, not only with very dark things, but with, I guess, more positive angelic things, as they described.
What I don't get is, like, how could you be, like, how does that happen to someone when you're that little? Like, number one, I don't really remember anything before. It was like, I don't know, 10. No, maybe not. But I don't have a great memory at all of me being a kid. Mm-hmm. So how does that, like even remembering anything that happened from your, when you were in the crib?
I remember being in the crib. You know, and you know what? I feel the exact same way about people who don't remember these things. And it's not like, oh my God, I can never associate with these crazy people like Carol Hughes who don't remember them. But to me, it's like, yeah, I remember that. I remember, because I remember living in we were in a house that I was in till I was three, and I was in that crib most of the time there. Not all the way to three, but, you know, pretty close to. And I remember that crib. I remember being in the crib. I remember trying to sneak out of it. Yeah, I have a lot of memories. I think my earliest goes back to probably about, I don't know, 2.5 or so, somewhere in that area.
We need to do a poll on the page. It says, do you remember life in a crib?
Yeah.
Yes or no? Like, as a child in a crib.
Oh, then you got somewhere. It's like, well, Mom kept me in the crib till I was 13, you know, but that's a whole different story.
We don't want to hear from those people because that's just creepy. But like somebody like that who has had these experiences with these things her whole life that aren't, that are negative and dark, like, why? That, to me, that's just so sad that a kid would have to live like that. Mm-hmm. It just bugs me and it pisses me off at the same time. Like, a kid should be a kid.
I think it's just a reality for some, where, you know, it's a haunted life. Some people have the ability to sense these things and see these things, and it's just part of life. It's not that it's suddenly, oh my gosh, I see ghosts today. It's just they've always been there and they're always able to sense them, just as, you know, so one could smell things better than others.
And it's interesting that after she found religion, then she started seeing other things. Mm-hmm. So maybe her parents were kind of dark. I don't know. Maybe they had their own secrets. But that's just interesting to me.
It's a good question. I mean, she got the Ouija board from her dad as a gift. So
I mean, you got to wonder. Maybe. I mean, what? Come on. For real. Like, what dad gives their kid a Ouija board? Although I bet my mom gave my sister hers. I need to find out.
You know, Harper does have a birthday coming up, so
Ouija board for kids.
Exactly. I saw one the other day, actually, at the toy store in town. They had a Stranger Things themed Ouija board. And I mean, there's no way I'd ever buy a Ouija board. I'm not saying I would do it, but it's you know, they're right there. They're, I think Milton Bradley makes them.
The alphabet would look like those little magnetic things that you put on the refrigerator when kids are really little. They would look like that. Like little block letters.
The little letters.
All colorful and happy, like Ouija board for kids.
You know what? I have a funny story involving those things. Several years ago, there was an online auction of some movie prop stuff. And on the auction block was the letters that were used in the remake of the Amityville Horror on the kitchen fridge. And there's, if you remember the movie at all, there's a scene in it where the letters rearrange themselves and it spells something. And it was a creepy scene from the movie. It's not remotely based on whatever happened in the book or the true account, but it was in the movie. And if you saw it, you remember it. Anyway, the letters, the little, you know, colored letters were up for auction, and they're going for really cheap. I'm talking like 40, 50 bucks. And I thought, well, this would be a neat thing, you know, to have in the studio as, you know, from the Amityville Horror. So I bid on them. I win. I get them. And they're not even the same letters that were in the, on the fridge on the movie. So I'm like,
no.
What the hell? So I reached, and it was a reputable auction house too. It wasn't just like Phil on eBay selling shit. And I reached out and they're like, oh my God, we sent the wrong baggie of, these were like the extra letters that weren't used on camera. And we sent... They sent the wrong ones to the wrong people. So the ones I actually had won had gone out to somebody else by mistake, and they never got them back. So I never got them. But what I did get from the Amityville Horror, and I it's in a box in the other room right now. We're in the middle of kind of redoing some parts of the house. I'm going to put it back in the office. But I do have from the Amityville Horror the little set design. It's like this miniature piece of the house, the famous attic with the windows, and it's like cardboard pieces that they built to scale, to miniature scale, for the set designers to know how to build this thing to full scale with all of the measurements and everything on it. It's really cool. And anyway, so that's what I do from the Amityville Horror.
Can you take a picture of that and post that? Because I would sure like to see it.
Yeah, I can do that. It's in a box in the other room right now. I just moved it around the other day. I also have a piece of David Letterman's bridge from The Late Show, the little blue bridge that was in the background. I have like these like little random trinkets. It's going to be a trip for my grandkids someday when they have to clean up my office when I die, because they're going to be like, what the hell is this? And then they'll...
Well, then you need a ledger and like, see ledger number 37. Entry number 37.
Most random shit.
And then you can have everything logged for them.
I know. It's the most random shit you'll ever find in an office. It's like, you have what? What? I have the clouds from Ghostbusters. The original reel that where you look at Dana Barrett's apartment building and the smoke that's going around the building, the creepiness. That was just ink that was dropped into a bucket of water. And this is back before digital effects. So they had to film straight up into this bucket of water and ink being dropped into it. I have the master reel of the clouds that were created for that effect on film. And the film reel box, the master reel says Ghost Stoppers, because that was the original title of the film when it was in production. So it's just a lot of random shit.
You can start a museum eventually.
I'm not quite buying, you know, the like the Jonesboro murder house, like Zach Bagans or whatever he just bought, you know, but I have some random shit that I've bought that was inexpensive. So didn't he just buy like some other like murder, like what was it, the one I heard about the other day? It was something crazy. It was some murder house. And I don't remember what it was. It was a famous California one. Who was the crazy killer out there?
The Golden State Killer?
No, it was the Sharon Tate. Like
the Zodiac Killer?
No.
Oh, Charles Manson.
Charles Manson. I believe it was connected to that. I don't know. I could be wrong. But it was some murder house. It's like, this would be great.
I don't want anything from a murder house.
No.
Nothing.
No. No. Not that long ago, I don't know, actually 10 years ago or so, I was reading, the Amityville house was up for sale, and they had the people who were living there at the time, the former owners, had a garage sale, first time ever, and they let people into the house for the first time publicly, but they couldn't go in the basement, they couldn't go upstairs. But during that time period, there was a lot of rumors of people stealing like fixtures and shit from the house.
Oh, you know it.
Yeah, to say, look, we have, you know, part of the awning of the, and it's like, yeah, it's true, part of the awning, but I doubt it's from 1978. You know, it's a lot of this has probably been replaced over the years. So anyway, I don't know.
But the house is probably still haunted, so it doesn't really matter.
There's been a lot
of still the house.
As far as I know, publicly, all the owners of the house have said that it's not. They've had nothing there publicly, as far as I know. And that's all I can say.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. That's all. But as far as I know, any public statements have always been nothing. And that's all I know publicly. And so it's not for me to say anything more. And I can't say I know more or don't know anything else.
Well, and I don't know anything, and I'll just say wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Yeah. And we're talking about Wink Martindale, actually, when we're saying that. So. He was a great guy.
He and I were really close.
Yes.
Or were. I can't remember. Is he dead or not?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another letter. It says, hi, I recently found your podcast and I've been listening nonstop at work. I've always been a believer in the paranormal, and I've had a few experiences growing up, from a woman whispering my name to seeing a dark figure as tall as the ceiling run across my room. But my story is, when me and my two friends went to the mountains to stay in a cabin, I'm a playful guy and thought it'd be fun to play a prank on my friends after we had heard that our cabin area was supposedly built on an Indian burial ground. One night we were on the lake enjoying a fire and quiet evening. I felt bored and went back to our cabin alone. When I came back, everyone asked where I was and made up a story that a Native American girl had come out of the woods to say hello to me. Her name was Away. I made up this Indian ghost girl from the top of my head and had my friends thinking I was talking to a spirit. The next night, my friends asked me to take them to where I met Away. So we went to the woods and stood there in dark silence. We all heard a loud noise sounding like someone knocked on a piece of wood near us. We walked on a trail that leads to abandoned cabins and heard the one loud knock on the cabin next to us. We continued walking and again the same knock on the next cabin. We looked around to see if there was any animals or anything that could explain the noise. We found nothing and continued down the trail until we heard the same knock on the next cabin by us, only 10 times louder at this point. We got scared and ran back to our cabin. We sat on the couch and stared at each other until we heard creaking down the hall and decided to go look. We ended up at the door of a room that was closed. My friend turned the knob and slowly started to open the door until the three of us heard the exact same knock that followed us from the woods inside the room. We opened the door, turned on the light, and there was nothing there. I never could explain what this was that night, but I have no doubt in my mind it was a spirit getting back at me for messing around with the dead. Thank you for listening and having a great podcast. Thoughts?
Well, my number one thought is, like, the worst thing I could ever do would be go to the mountains and stay in a cabin. Like, I can't.
No.
There's no way you could ever get me to do that. So that was where they first went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But no. I just think something about the idea, and maybe it's just because you feel kind of vulnerable because you're out there like that and you can't really see anything approaching.
Mm-hmm.
But something about a cabin in the woods just freaks me out. You could not pay me to stay at a cabin in the woods.
Isolated cabin in the woods, are you referring to?
I mean, unless it was like some super awesome resort.
Okay.
And that kind of cabin. Yeah. That's in the vicinity of a whole bunch of other cabins, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, I know a lot of people think that's super awesome and peaceful and quiet. No, it just terrifies me, the whole thought of it.
It's just like being alone in a cornfield waiting for God knows what to come knocking on the door at 11 o'clock at night when you're all alone doing a radio show in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I had that once. We had the station I worked at. Everybody thinks radio stations, first of all, are like in like real, I guess like urban areas, you know, big studio and this and that. Half the time they're in the middle of fucking cornfields next to a tower by nothing else. And I remember doing a night show, and I was the one who would leave the station at midnight. We had no overnight job. So it was like 11:30 at night. And all of a sudden I hear this just, you know, God knows, rapping on the doors. And I'm like, what the? And, you know, you don't know what it is. Is it some crazy listener who's pissed off because you played a Dixie Chick song in 2002? Very possible at that point in time. And you're like, oh, God, they're going to shoot through the glass of the door and they're going to find me dead here. But no, I get out there and I look, and it's actually... it was a little scary because it was an intern that I had let go from the previous station I worked at. However, that station was a good 120 miles from this station.
So, okay, that's creepy.
So why on earth this guy is showing up at 11:30 at night, rapping on the door of a different station a year and a half later is beyond me. So I'm like, and I knew back then when I had to let him go, he was a little, you know, off his rocker. I didn't know what. And I don't even know. I don't remember what his name was. And this is like almost 20 years ago now. But I was like, oh, what do I do? Like, I can't just like pretend I'm not here. He sees me. So I went over very cautiously and just, you know, cracked the door a little bit. I'm like, hey, whatever your name is, what's up? He's like, oh, hey, I live in this part of the town now. I heard you on the radio. I just wanted to come say hi.
What?
And I'm like, because I remember when I had to like let him go, he was really pissed off. And I don't remember what it was for, or from what I remember, it was something where I could be wrong, but it was something, some sort of threatening behavior towards another staff member. It wasn't towards me, but it was towards somebody else. And it's just one of those things where you say, I'm sorry, you can't work here anymore because so-and-so thinks you're going to like go after them with a bow and arrow. I believe it involved a bow and arrow for some reason. And I don't know how it was or what it was, but there was a bow and arrow involved, either a threat or something.
This needs to be the first episode of your new podcast, Office Horror Stories.
It totally should be. And so I'm like, oh God, I'm all alone. What the hell do I, I'm like, I can't let anybody in the building right now or whatnot. He gets in the fucking building. I don't know if I was dumb and let him in. I was, I don't know, like 21 or something. And he gets in. Turns out I'm still here, so nothing happened. But he was just wanted to hang out, just shoot the shit, catch up a little bit. And then he left peacefully. Nothing bad, and I just played it really chill. The whole time I'm like looking around the studio going, okay, if I grab that metal mic stand over there and rip it out, I could probably, you know, if I just keep the thing bent, it'll be like a metal bar. And it never had to use it, but
what the hell?
Oh my God. That was one of the creepiest nights I think I ever had at that station. It's not the dead you're worried about. It's crazy old interns that are going to show up. In the middle of cornfields that you had to fire because they made a threatening statement about a bow and arrow in a coworker. Fucking radio. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony, this is Mike. Driving across country doing a move right now. But listen to your podcast. Was completely interested in what everybody had to say, and it reminded me of a story that I had a few years ago when I was living in this old town in North Carolina. I just moved into a new house there, and right off the bat, you know, there was something that it's weird. It was like a sixth sense that I had where I was just very uneasy in the house. I'm a military veteran, and the only thing I can liken it to is, you know, when you're in an area and you know something bad is about to happen, and you just have this, like, almost intrinsic nature sense that something is about to occur. So I'm in this house, and I just had this weird feeling. I looked it up, and, you know, they say there are things, you know, it's like a new house syndrome where you feel uneasy when you're in a new setting. But this was different. It was just a very strange thing. I've never had this feeling before. I've never had anything like this before, so it was very strange to me. Well, about 2 or 3 days later, I'm laying in bed, and not uneasy anymore. I've grown accustomed to the house. I'm laying on my right side, and I'm right at the verge of falling asleep. My eyes get really heavy, and I'm right at the verge of it. And then suddenly, I hear, clear as day, a woman clear her throat in my left ear. And it shocked me, and I sat straight up in bed and, you know, just wished it away. I explained it away. I said, hey, you know, you're probably imagining things, and, you know, it's probably one of those things that you just dreamt. So I laid back down and went to sleep. Well, about a week later, my girlfriend was visiting, and she was staying the night. And at about 3 o'clock in the morning, unexplained, I just woke up. And I remember my vision. I didn't, for whatever reason, have the night vision. Normally, when you wake up, you can see everything in your room. I just remember it being just really, really dark. So I looked over at my girlfriend to check on her, and I made out this shadow of this woman sitting next to me, almost leaning against the headboard with her hands folded on her chest. So I thought that was kind of weird for my girlfriend to be sitting up in bed, you know, with her hands folded. So I went to go be obnoxious and put my hand on her head and say, go back to sleep. And when I went to reach at that shadow, it went right through, and I touched the headboard. I looked down next to me, and my girlfriend was sound asleep in bed right there. So at that moment, I was really freaked out, because I knew this looked like a figure sitting next to me. At this point, I didn't see anything anymore. My eyes adjusted a little bit, and I went back to sleep. Well, I couldn't help myself, because it freaked me out enough. So I asked my landlord, the next time I ran into him, I said, asked some questions. I said, hey, you know, is there anything weird with the house? And any strange occurrences, anything like that? And he kind of sheepishly said, well, yeah, you know, there are strange things that have happened that I haven't been able to explain. So I asked him, you know, some of the history of the house. And he said, you know, the house he had built for his mother, and, you know, his mother back in the 80s, and she lived there until she passed away, and he would rent the house out. So I couldn't help myself, and I asked him, I said, well, you know, did your mother pass away in the house? And again, he kind of paused for a second and said, yes, she passed away in the master bedroom. So I didn't know what else to do. You know, I'm kind of a man of science, so the paranormal was a new thing for me. So I just walked into the house one day, and I announced myself. I said my intent, introduced myself, and said, you know, I really liked the property, and I was there to take care of it, and, you know, hoping that we could get along. The best thing I could think of, the best thing I could think of doing. But after that, never had an issue again. Nothing ever happened, no whispers, no strange occurrences, and, it was overall just a really strange experience. So I hope you guys can use this story. I hope you guys can find some good critiquing of that. I'd love to hear it. And thank you for the podcast. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. And by the way, you are an awesome juggler. Did you hear the juggling that was going on right there?
It sounded like that. Yeah, like he was juggling while he was driving across the country.
He was driving across the country, and he was juggling Tupperware is what it was. And it was like, holy shit, I haven't seen a Tupperware juggler in years. That was awesome.
While talking about ghosts.
While talking about ghosts. I think it was just the interference. It was one of those where he's going to be like, I was doing absolutely nothing. I don't know what the hell that was. It's probably,
you know, though, there was times where it kind of got bad, but I think I got most of it.
Yeah.
I always find it interesting, you know, people who will say they don't believe in ghosts or they dismiss it really quickly until you have an experience that you can't explain. And I like the fact when he said, well, I'm a man of science. Mm-hmm. And I get that. It's like everything has an explanation. There's a reason. Until you have something like that happen to you, that there is no real explanation for it.
Sure.
I always find that so interesting when that happens to somebody who's like, yeah, because my guess is since he is a man of science.
Real up until man then, of science. I just have to do it every time he's there. Here's to you, real man of science that sees science. Ghosts.
Now I don't even remember what I was saying. Anyways. Yeah, so I like it when stuff like that happens to people like that. Because then they have to be, it's like, wow, the fact that he even went to the landlord and asked, mm-hmm. you know, because probably man of science, he
real
didn't want
man
to do that.
Of science. Do you think he went to the landlord and said, hi, I'm a man of science? I think.
And I'm having a strange occurrence happen at my house.
Being a man of
science like me.
He didn't talk like that at all. I don't know why I'm suddenly like making him do a real like pompous ass, because that's not at all how he is.
No, I actually liked the guy
no.
a lot.
Yeah, he seemed real nice and normal. It's just the phrase man of science is all we're playing with. Well, there you go.
So there. It does even happen to men of science.
I totally screwed up your analysis of that.
Yeah, I had something to say, yeah. And now it's all lost on you.
Real men of science. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do another call. Hi, let's hear your story.
What's up, guys? Jerry from South Jersey. Again, I called week or so ago to tell you guys about some experiences I had when I was a kid in my house. So I want to tell you about an experience I had on a little weekend vacation. So every year, my friend and I go to Cape May, New Jersey, and for the Halloween festivities every year in October. And so one of the first times we went down there, my friend had been with an ex-girlfriend, and he kind of knew all the places to go, events and everything. So it was my first time going. It's about 4 or 5 years ago. So as I mentioned in my last call, I've always thought that I was somewhat sensitive to the paranormal. So I was kind of excited to see, you know, what would happen, what I would see, feel, what have you. It was pretty run-of-the-mill, you know, ghost tours, trolley tours, stuff like that. I mean, nothing crazy, but we did have a tour of a haunted house called the Physic Estate. And you know, Cape May is a very old town, Victorian. A lot of hauntings have been recorded down there. This house is a hot spot, and so a medium brings you through and gives you a full tour. Very exclusive. Tickets sell out very quickly. A group of maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 people. So not many. So it's a very intimate experience. So anyway, we go in there. You know, I'm trying to clear my mind to see, you know, what I can maybe pick up or feel. Starts off pretty normal. Gives us, you know, a little bit of the history while we stand in the foyer area. And then we make an immediate right out of that area into the parlor. And he tells us about the parlor, what used to go on in there, what kind of hauntings people have seen in there, but nothing's really going on yet. Immediately next to the parlor, we go to the dining room. We're all standing around the dining room table, and medium goes, hey, Emlyn Physic, who's the owner of the house, he's here with us. And he seems to be gravitating over towards that side of the room, and he points over where I'm standing. Was because he knows that someone there can not necessarily communicate, I forget that was the word he used, but is sensitive to spirits. And I didn't say anything, you know, I'm not that kind of person to speak up about that kind of stuff. So I, you know, but I shot a glance to my friend and I'm like, oh God, really? So anyway, head out of the dining room into the kitchen, which is next to that. And as we walk into the kitchen, the door in the back of the kitchen opens all by itself. Just a slow creak, as if someone were to be opening it to leave. And he said, okay, well, you know, the cook is frequently in here, so maybe she left as we were walking in. And again, I didn't really feel anything in this room. We were just kind of talking. And all of a sudden, about a couple minutes in, I got this really heavy weight in the pit of my stomach, just a sinking feeling. Almost like I could, like I had a hard time breathing. Not awful, but it was a definite change. And as I felt that, the medium said, okay, the cook is definitely back in here. I can feel her in here. She's moving around and trying to prepare food. That's kind of what people have reported, maybe even glancing, seeing her, you know, messing around at the counters and stove and whatnot. So, you know, he kind of threw a little jay. Let's get out of her way. Let's head upstairs. So we leave. I immediately, the sinking feeling goes away. And then I walk out of the kitchen. And we go upstairs. And as we're going up the stairs, he's giving us yet more, a little more history. And he says, okay, well, when you get to the top, to the right, there's going to be a room. And that was the maid's room. I believe he said the maid. And yeah, forgive me, it was 4 or 5 years ago. In fact, I'm going again this year, so maybe I can call back and fix some of my details. But the person in that room was not a very nice individual. Didn't like their stuff being touched or their personal belongings being looked at. Very private person. So they had it roped off. They didn't want people going in there. And I poked my head in immediately, did not want to go in there, did not even want to be around it, just felt like something was pushing me away from the room. So I turned around and I said to my friend, nope, no way, not going anywhere near there. So left that, go into Emlyn's physics room, bedroom, standing there. We're in the back of the group by the closet, and we're listening to the medium talk and tell us more history. And my buddy goes, hey, did you just grab my shoulder? And I said, definitely no. That would be weird. And he said, no, somebody definitely just grabbed my shoulder. There's no one behind us. We're in the back of the group. So that was the first physical interaction. And then we leave that room and we go into Emily Physics' mom's room. Now, she died in the house, in fact, in that room, in bed. And the minute you walk in that room, it was ice cold. Now, it's October, late October. It's cold in New Jersey. So the heat was pumping in that house, point where, you know, borderline sweating, so hot. And it was weird. The minute you stepped into the bedroom, it got ice cold. It stayed ice cold in there. So that was strange. And we're in there, and he's giving us, you know, whatever. And I'm not really feeling anything, honestly. But then he says, you know, normally we have a seance downstairs in the parlor, but I think today we're going to have it here in the room. I'm like, great. So they turn all the lights off. This is ridiculous. But we're all standing there in the dark in this bedroom, and he's trying to tell the spirit to communicate with us. So he's saying, come forth, communicate, interact, whatever. I am standing there in the dark. Again, I feel this, the back of someone's hand brush the cheek on my face. Just from top to bottom brush. And that freaked me out. And the minute that happened, the medium goes, oh, I just felt someone touch my face. Okay, that's really strange. And then as that's happening, this one girl actually lets out a little scream. One of the women in the group lets out a scream. She says, oh, my God, something just tugged on my dress. And he goes, oh, yeah, there's a little girl, one of Emlyn's daughters, that haunts this house, and she looks to women as motherly figures and likes to play. She'll periodically try and hold your hand or tug on your shirt or clothes. So that happened. Nothing else really happened after that. I mean, I remember leaving and feeling a sort of uneasy feeling. It's kind of strange. But yeah, so there's that. Went home, had some really weird, horrifying dreams. And to the point where at one point someone was yelling my name and woke me up, and I woke up standing straight up or sitting straight up in my bed, scared my wife to death, had to go to my wife's stepmother, who is a medium. She saged me, insisted on it. And the minute that happened, I stopped having the dreams. So something definitely followed me home, and there was something in that house. I don't know why. I must be insane, but I'm going back this year, and this time the wife and my buddy's girlfriend is coming. So it's going to be more of us. Look forward to seeing what happened, and maybe I'll call back with some more stories. But until then, thanks for having this podcast. It's really fun and interesting, and thanks for letting me share the story with you guys.
Thanks for sharing that experience with us. It's one of those where they got some confirmation there of oh, yeah, this is haunted by this person, and here's what goes on. I don't know if that's, I mean, I suppose to me that would be comforting to know I'm not alone in experiencing some things.
Well, number one, when he goes back, he has to call.
Yeah.
I am dying to know what will happen when he goes back.
I'd be very curious as well.
But, like, you know, you hear stories about people going in places like that, and they might have, like, and then I felt something tug on my skirt. There was, like, a zillion things that happened to them. Mm-hmm. Like, every room they went into. And then they're like, we're having a seance. I'm like, hell no. This is where I leave this tour. I am not letting you shut the damn lights out in here.
It's added bonuses when you're having a tour like that and what you get to experience.
But it's also what you and I have talked about before. Like when I sometimes like places like that, I'm like, I don't want this to get stuck to me mm-hmm. and go home with me. And that happened to him.
Yep. It makes you think twice about doing the ghost tours or things of that nature, because that shit happens.
And he's going back. What?
He's returning it. He's bringing it back. He's saying, hey, come back. Go back home. Go.
See, I think that's crazy. But I'm super excited to hear more about it, because to me, I really do think if that happened to you once, I think that connection is made mm-hmm. and I think they recognize you again. I do. I'd be really surprised if he went to that house and nothing happened.
Is it like kind of like, oh, yeah, this one picks up hitchhikers and then they're
exactly
they're all about it.
We'll have luck with this guy.
Yeah.
He likes us.
I could see that. I think
we can get through to this guy.
It's like you're marked. It's like, oh yeah, this works. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. We do appreciate it. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 at Real Ghost Stories Online. That is going to wrap up this episode of the program. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. That's what we call them. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get all of the bonus content right there. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.